Rishayim, we're in Perek Kaf.
We spoke yesterday
about finding balance in Avodas Hashem. On the one hand, the person should have the desire to take on more and more and grow in Avodas Hashem. On the other hand, the person has to see what are the long-term effects going to be. And if the long-term effect is going to create more of a Chilul Hashem, then being a chosid means that you know to be able to say no to something even though it looks good. וכמה פעמים ייכנס אדם להוכיח חוטאים במקום או בזמן שאין דבריו נשמעים וגורם להם להתפרץ יותר ברשעם ולחלל השם ולהוסיף על חטאתם פשע והנה כיוצא בזה אינו מן החסידות אלא לשתוק. There's an obligation from the Torah to rebuke. You're reading that line and you say, I'm going to go now from person to person on the street in Tel Aviv and tell them off. I'll grab the first one. You have to keep Shabbos. I'll grab the second one. You have to put on tefillin. I'll grab the third one. It's not again. I'm sorry. What will I do? I'll be grabbing and screaming at everyone. It's not going to work. Either because the place is inappropriate or the time is not appropriate. And what will happen eventually? Dafka the other opposite way. They'll say, you're telling me I'm going to show you Dafka now. I'm going to do my own thing. And they'll be amazed now. They'll be like proving to you why they're not going to do it. And that will cause the greater Chilul Hashem. So the way to fulfill Hocheach et Amitecha here is to keep quiet. Because by saying a word, it's going to make them do more Averus. So you have to keep quiet and not say anything. If that's the situation, you have to be wise and analyze the situation. V'chein amru rabotenu, in Masechet Yevamos, daf samach hei, k'shem shel mitzvah lomar davar hanishma, kach mitzvah shelo lomar et she'eino nishma. I just want to add something. There's a... We'll say the word Torah, but in this context, in Hebrew you say the word Torah for, not a Torah, but you say for any kind of like wisdom that you can learn. But there's a skill that one can learn of how to say things in a way that are effective and that people can hear them. People who are in marketing learn this in order to sell you things. People who are in education hopefully learn this in order to give over Torah in a clear and a healthy way. Hopefully Rabbanim learn it when they're speaking to their Kehila. I'll give you an example of what not to say. I was once listening to a shiur, and the rabbi was talking about a certain thing which he felt was important. And he said, everyone must do this, everyone must do this and this. And then he says, I say this all the time. Does anybody listen to me? No! Why doesn't anyone listen to me about this? I was thinking to myself, Ribbono shel Olam, that's not going to help people accept what you're saying. If you're saying, I say this all the time and no one listens to me, oi! That's not going to give the people a feeling of, oh, I'll listen to you. It's going to give people a feeling like, you're right, no one listens to you. So I'll go along and not listen as well. Even though I know it's wrong, but you're kind of categorizing me what's it called? Someone who davens in a shul? Congregant, that's it. You're categorizing me as your congregant as in a group of people who don't listen to their rabbi. So I kind of accept it, you know? I go along with what you say. So there are sensitive people who say, don't worry, rabbi, I'll show you, I'll do it. That's not naturally what you're saying. But if you speak to a person, even if they don't do something, but you speak to them in a way that presumes they do it. That's the way you speak to them. This particular case was a rabbi who was talking about people not going away to Yom Tov and staying in the shul. That was what he was talking about. So he was saying, I tell everyone that they have to be Yom Narayim in their shul, in their home, and their children have to see them not away on some vacation, they have to be there. That's what he was talking about. Simchas Torah, you have to be dancing with the Torah where you learn Torah, not in some vacation place. Does anyone listen to me? No! So if he would have said, like to people, he says, what I love about the people in this shul is that they know that they stay and you stay and you stay and you stay and the people who are staying. And in a way of, obviously if it's totally false, it won't work. Right? But if it's people who are wavering, they may stay, they may not stay. And then you bring out in them the tzads, the side in them that, oh, I believe in you as a person who stays. And the person says, yes, Rabbi, I can do that. I'll do that. Because you didn't tell them off. You brought out in them. So a great part of the mitzvah of Hocheach Tochech et Amitecha is learning how to speak in a way that people will accept it and listen. Because then you'll be able to tochecha in a way that they won't say, I'm definitely going to show you that not. But you said in a way that's presuming they will. And if you use this is a tool which marketing is using to take your money. And you can use to help people come close to Torah. And I feel that it's part of the obligation. In the same way as you buy an esrog to fulfill the mitzvah of shaking an esrog, you have to learn this Torah, this skill, in order to fulfill the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, teaching, like Lelamed, And also to fulfill the mitzvah of chech techech, to not to say things in a way that are reflective. I once in my life had a situation where I had to have a very uncomfortable conversation with someone, and I wasn't sure how to do it. And I asked one of my rabbonim how to say this thing, and he said this is very complex and very complicated. You should speak to someone professional to get guidance. And I paid someone. I went to a professional psychologist, and I paid him money to just to go through what I wanted, how I wanted to have this conversation with the other person, and how to say it. And I went through how I was going to say it, and then he kind of said, well, what would that lead to? And then I said, probably this. If you're right, so how else can you say it? He didn't tell me what to say, but he just like guided me. And within an hour, I had written out like a formula of how to say it in a way that the person would fully hear in without any negias. And it worked amazing. It was the whole conversation with the eventual person was less than 3 minutes. It was just smooth, clear, to the point, and accomplished what it was supposed to accomplish. It was unbelievable, but it was a skill that I had to learn. It wasn't something that I knew naturally. What I would have said naturally would have probably had the wrong effect. Probably would have made them offended, and they wouldn't have wanted to talk about it, and then nothing would have changed. But this way, it was a tikkun. So, hochech tochiach, don't just presume, oh, if I say something, they'll be upset. 1 second, first, you have to do your avodah. You have to do your preparation to say, like, how are you going to say it? And maybe if you say it in a way that it could be accepted, then, ure'e pashut, shera'ui lekol adam liyot makedim, veratz ledevar mitzvah, ולהשתדל להיות מן העוסקים בו. אך הנה לפעמים יכול להיוועד מזה מריבה. It's obvious that you could always just run to do a mitzvah. But you have to think, sometimes by you running to do a mitzvah, it's going to cause conflict, it's going to cause a fight. You know, when we're very young, we look at things very much as black and white. Everyone's good or bad. And if they're bad, they're bad. And they're all bad, and I'm not talking to them. And if they're good, and they're good, and they're amazing, so they do something wrong, and then, oh my gosh, what happened? Now they're on my bad list. When we're young, we're not mature in that way. As we grow and we develop, we realize the world is complex. And there are people, every person, has in them elements which are good and elements which are bad. And we learn how to relate to people. And there's even the great people. Even great people, Ein Adam, Ba'aretz Asher Lo Yechatah, even great people have elements of good and elements of bad within them. And our goal is to go around the world and know that everyone has good and bad in them, but look for the good and bring out the good and identify with the good, identify in them the good, and then pay attention to the good. And the bad, look over, ignore, unless it's something to learn from what not to be like, Vaseda. You can warn them, Vaseda. But that's our goal in our world. Life is complex. It's good and bad. So what he's speaking against here, Mr. Shorin, is when you're trying to be a chassid, don't look at the world in an immature way, if it's all good or bad. And if it's good, I'm running for the good. Because you may not realize that part of your running for the good could cause other bad things to happen. You have to recognize the complexity. Recognize that if you're doing something good, in every good you're doing, there could be elements of bad. What could they be? Let me make sure that they're not going to develop. The example that he gives here is, you might run to do a mitzvah, but in the way that you do it, or because you're doing it, you're tertit bazeh ha-mitzvah v'yitchalel ba shem shaman imash yitkabed. It could be that in your running to do the mitzvah, it will cause more of a disgrace to the mitzvah than the mitzvah being honored. Either because, I'll give one example, I think I told this before here, but it's worth telling again. Beautiful story. Actually, it happened in, whoever was with the mayor, the tour guide mayor, so this happened in his father's shul. So, do you know what his name was? Eisman, Rabbi Eisman? Ron Yitzchak Eisman? What shul is that? Seven? Okay. So, and this happened in the shul of Rabbi Ron Yitzchak Eisman, the father of the person we met on Yom Hashanah. So there was in their shul, they have the minhag to wear a jacket when you daven. And there was someone who had yotzeit, and he came on time, and he brought his jacket, and he was going up for the amud. And as he was going up for the amud, someone raced into shul, like worn out, running, and says, "Oi, I had yotzeit, amud's mine." So the other guy also had yotzeit, but said, "You want to make a fuss?" So he stood back, and he says, "Okay, go ahead." And then he got the guy that got the daven, he didn't have a jacket. And in their shul, only if you wear a jacket, you can daven. The shalich has to be wearing a jacket. So he didn't have a jacket. So then he said, "Oh, but I have the daven, I have yotzeit." But he didn't have a jacket. He says, "Okay, I'll go home and get it." And then by the time you get home and come back, we'll miss the month. He says, the guy who was about to go and daven takes off his jacket and gives it to the person who's running and pushed him off the amud. Now everyone else in the shul couldn't take that anymore. Because they knew the first one also had yotzeit. And it was enough that it was mevater once, but the mevater had given his jacket. So they said to the other guy, said, "Excuse me, he also has yotzeit. And you're taking his jacket now? Pushing yourself in?" So then the guy felt really guilty. "No, no, 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 no. So you don't. Like, okay, fine, you don't." And the one who had taken off his jacket had already given it to him. He says, "Listen, why do I want a daven? Why do I want a daven? Because it's going to give my father nachas. this is going to give my father more nach. So he gives him the check. So he doesn't. And then everyone was happy. He was happy because he got the daven, and he was happy because he gave nachas to his father. Sometimes, pushing your way in and running to do a mitzvah could cause more of a chilash than a kiddush Hashem. The second person realized it. The original first person realized it. He realized that, like, if I'm going to stand up for my rights here and say, I was here first, and I want the mitzvah, and it's my old side also, and I was here first, that's not going to cause a kiddush Hashem. That's going to cause a chilash Hashem. What's going to give more nachas? In this story, it was what's going to go nachas to my father. In our story, what's going to cause nachas to my father, Abishamai? It's the same message. Sometimes you're running to do a mitzvah, but is your running to do a mitzvah that what's going to cause the... Another even more simple example is that when a mitzvah comes your way, there are some times where the mitzvah is what the mitzvah is. Right? Giving tzedakah, you gave tzedakah, finished. Sometimes the mitzvah involves like a process more. Right? Let's say someone asks you to give a chabur. So you could just say, I'll give the chabur, and you get up and you just give the chabur. But how much preparation did you put in? So it could be the chabur won't come out clear, it won't come out well. And then it will cause the chilul Hashem, like you didn't understand the idea properly, and then people like ask questions, and you don't know what you're talking about, and if you're teaching in a public place, then it's going to like look Torah, look not clear. So sometimes, don't run into the mitzvah, but like think it through. Do I have enough time to prepare that I'll be able to do it properly? If I can, then I'll take it, but I'll do it properly. If not, then I'll pass, I'll let someone else do it. That's an example where someone's like racing to do the mitzvah, but because they don't have enough time, they'll get up and they won't do such a good enough job. And if they would have let someone else who knows how to do a better job to do them, there would be more of a Kiddush Hashem for Torah. So think through the situation. What's going to cause the greatest Kiddush Hashem? Chazal also say by the Levim. V'pnei sh'ayu yodim she'kol mi she'to'ein ba'aron s'charo merube, v'ayu manichim et ha'shulchan v'et ha'menorah v'et ha'mizbachot v'kulam rotzim la'aron l'tol s'achar. The Levim all wanted to hold the Aron HaKodesh. And they were abandoning the shulchan ha'menorah and the mizbech. Mitoch kach, היה זה מריב ואומר, אני טוען, וזה אומר, אני טוען. ותוך כך היו נוגעים קלוס ראש. They were all trying to hold the Aron HaKodesh, and they were pushing each other. I'm going to hold it. And then they were acting around the Aron HaKodesh in a frivolous way, because they were fighting of who's going to get the right to hold it. והייתה שכינה פוגעת בהם. And therefore, והנה חייב אדם לשמור כל המצוות, וכל דקדוקיהם, לפי מה שיהיה, ולא יירא ולא יבוש. וכן הוא אומר, ואדברה בעדותיך נגד מלאכים ולא אבוש. We learn from David HaMelech that you, no matter who you're around, no matter what they're going to say about you, if it's a halacha, you have to keep the halacha. And you shouldn't care about what other people are going to say about you when it comes to keeping a halacha. As it says also in Pirkei Avot, Havi az kenamer, Amnam bezeh yesh chiluk, v'havchana, but we have to differentiate here. Ki kol zeh ne'emar al gufei ha-mitzvot shechayavim anachnu b'em chova gumura. Where we say, I don't care what people are going to say, I'm going to do it anyway, that's where there's a halacha to keep. There is a halacha to keep. Shebehem yasim panav kachalamish. When there's an actual halacha to keep, there, I don't care what people think about me, I'm going to do the halacha, I'm going to keep the halacha, because I have to. Ach yesh eze tosefet chasidut. However, in a case where it's not the actual halacha, but you want to add something, you're looking to go beyond the letter of the law. So in that situation, אם יעשה אותם האדם לפני המון העם, יסחקו עליו ויתלו תצאו. And you start doing extra practice, something which is not the letter of the law, but you're doing more than you need to do. ונמצאו חוטאים ונענשים על ידו. Then, people will make fun of you. And then you're held accountable for the fact they're making fun of Torah. והוא היה יכול להניח ולעשות דברים האלה. And you could have abandoned. I'll give you a beautiful, funny example of this. There was a boy in Camp Yavne. A couple of years older than me. And he was back here for Elul, when I was Shana Aleph. I was speaking to him a lot about Hadracha and Avodat Hashem and learning and everything. So he told me the following story. He said that when he was going home for Pesach, he was learning Hilchos Leil HaSeder. And as part of Hilchos Leil HaSeder, he learned that there are different shiurim of matzah. And there's a smaller shiur and there's a bigger shiur. Okay. And there are some who say that really you should have both matzahs, the middle one and the bottom one. And there are some who say you should have a kazayas with each. And there are some who say, because we don't know which is the main one, you should have a kazayas each at the same time. So he said, okay, well, I have to do this. So he had a kazayas of the middle according to the chazanish, and a kazayas of the bottom one according to the chazanish, and he had to have both kazayasim in his mouth at the same time. And that way he could have filled the mitzvah according to all the hidurim. And he comes from a more modern family, where they don't necessarily keep all the hidurim in his family. From family, not. Let's say his name was Moshe. So he was there, you know, and he sat back on his chair, And his father made the bracha, and he's come back from Karen V'Avanev, and he had the pieces, and he was ready. And then, 3, 2, 1, go. And he quickly crumbled and started stuffing. Like, he wasn't swallowing yet, because the time starts when you start swallowing. So he was first stuffing as much as he could in his mouth of both kazesim, to have it all in his mouth at the same time, without swallowing anything. So when it's all ready, then he'll start swallowing, and he'll get it in the glass. And he was so his mother's looking at him like this. And she said, "That's right, Moshe. That's exactly what God wants from you." She was smiling. And it's true. That's not what God wanted from him. Because even if you privately want to do all the chumras, all the hidurim, but if someone's going to look at you, and they're going to think, that's a chilul Hashem. You're eating in a way which is not respectful. And it's a hidur. It's not an ikar adin, it's a hidur. And it causes someone else to look disrespectfully at Torah law, then even though you're trying to do more for the sake of halacha, yatsa scharo b'hesed. You lost the reward what you were trying to get because in causing a chilul Hashem. So if it would be halacha, if they would make fun of you for eating matzah on Leila Seder, oh, you're so primitive. Then you don't care. I don't care what you say. This is the halacha. I'm keeping the halacha. I wouldn't care if anyone laughs at me. If there would be a question about sleeping in a sukkah, and people would make fun of me, I'd say, I don't care. I learn halacha. That's the halacha. Sleep in a sukkah. You sleep in a sukkah. But if they would start, if I would want to take extra hidurim, extra chumras, and the negative, for example, according to halacha, you're allowed to drink water outside of the sukkah. It's true that the Mishnah Berurah says that Yirat Shamayim doesn't, but it's absolutely allowed according to halacha. It's only a chumra, it's only a hiddur. If you're on a family tiyul, and the whole family is going on this big tiyul on sukkah, and you're not by a sukkah, and your family are worried about you, drink, and you can feel yourself getting dehydrated, drink. You say, no, I have this chumra, I'm not going to drink. And your family getting upset with you, you're not taking care of yourself, then here it would be a chosid shote, not to drink. But if they would say, we want to have a meal now outside the sukkah, you can say, I'm not going to eat bread. And say, no, what are you doing? Why don't you eat bread? We're all having bread. You can say, it's the halacha. I can't eat bread outside the sukkah. That's the halacha. So you'll eat other, you'll eat shahakal foods. So if it's a hiddur, don't take on a hiddur if it's going to cause a chilul Hashem. If it's a halacha, tanavka chalamish. Your face is like a stone wall. I don't care what anyone's going to say. I'm going to keep the halacha. You should rather leave it. It's not obligation. If someone's really a chassid, he'll let it pass. When you want to take on extra chumras, you should do things privately. You want to be with Hashem? It's you privately. When you want to take on your hidurim, it's hatsmelechet. It's you in your private world. That's where you take them on. If you're in public and it's going to cause people to ridicule it, then you shouldn't take it on. I'll just add one more thing. Even if people won't ridicule it, but it will cause you to feel arrogant. Because I hope he noticed, and I hope they noticed, I hope other people noticed. Also then, hatsmelechet em Hashem kecha. You should rather not do acts of hidurim in public. Like, did I give an example? We have a Tanis Dibble? Yeah, same thing, right? The person feels like he's on a Tanis Dibble. I'm so holy, I'll let everyone know that I'm so holy. What did he gain from the Tanis Dibur when he's becoming so arrogant that he's on a higher level than everyone else? It wasn't worth it. Michtav Miriam writes this about bringing in Shabbos early. He says that if a person brings in Shabbos early, he gets a mitzvah to a Sefer Shabbos. And that's a good thing. But there's no shear in the Sefer Shabbos. You could do anything. I mean, there's no shear of like much, much earlier. He says, but if a person starts thinking that everyone else is Machal al Shabbos, then that's an mitzvah. So it's not worth it that a person's going to bring in Shabbos early and feel so holy that he's done extra Shabbos if that's going to cause him to look down at other people or feel arrogant. That's what the pasuk says. That snei lechet im elokecha v'kama chasidim gedolim hinichu miminagei chesedut v'yotom bein hamon ha'am mishum demechazei kayohara. There were people who it wasn't arrogant. They knew that it wasn't arrogant. They knew it wouldn't lead them to arrogance, but it looks arrogant. Mechazeka yuhara. It looks arrogant. And therefore, not to do something around other people which looks arrogant, then they didn't do certain practices, which they knew that they themselves would do, but around other people, they didn't do. Kalalo shel davar, the rule is, kol ma shehu ikarei abemitzvah, yaseihu lifnei kol malik, whatever the actual halacha, I don't care who's making fun of me, I'm going to do it in their presence. Or ma sheinu ikari, but if it's not the main halacha, who gorem schok v'hitzul, and it's going to cause other people to ridicule halacha, Torah, Lo yaseh, you shouldn't do. Nimset lamed. What we've learned from all of this is, if someone wishes to become a chassid, and he truly wants to be a chassid, then it's not enough just to look at the initial action, but you have to look at the long-reaching effects. What is the consequence going to be? What is the surrounding environment going to be if you do such things? Each according to the time that you live in, and according to the society that you live in, according to the topic that it is. Sometimes there's a mitzvah topic which you have to like be more harsh about. Or lefiyah makom, and you have to know the place. They say that Rabbi Yisrael Salanta, that when he used to go to different towns, and he would instruct people in Avodas Hashem, he was very selective in what he would instruct. He wouldn't prepare a drosha, and then go from town to town to town and give his drosha. Like there were some magidim in those times, there were people who were magids, who didn't know so much. But like they would be held by the rabbi to like prepare a drosha, and they would go from town to town to town and say their drosha, and they would get some money from the community for saying a drosha. But someone like Rabbi Sotranda, you know, he knows everything. So he would learn the community, would come to the community, speak to people in the community, understand the community, learn the community, and then he would say a drosha specifically unique to the people of that town. And sometimes it was things which for other towns would be an issue, but for him he would tell them to do it. Because that was relevant in what was the next stage in their Avodat Hashem. Not that he would tell them to do an issue, but like what he would guide them in was like, you have to write. Wait, this is an example. I remember it was he said when you're at the port, you have to write, but at least write with a shun. That was what was relevant for the people in that town. If he would tell them to keep Shabbos, they wouldn't keep Shabbos. They just wouldn't listen. But he told them to write. They had to write like all the loads of stock that would come in. They were at the port, and they would write it with a shun. That was what he told them to do. Each person according to where they're holding. So you have to know specifically what's relevant. And if holding back is going to cause more Kiddush Hashem, it's going to bring more Nachas Ruach to your father in Shemaim, then rather step back. It's not about I need to do more things. It's about I need to make a Kiddush Hashem. That's what's important here. And if a Kiddush Hashem is by not doing something, then I'll step back. It's not about my ego. Or im ma'aseh echad v'mari tohu tov, and if something looks externally good, if it's told tov v'tanavu ra, but it's going to lead you to be in a place which is bad, or it's going to lead to long-term conditions which are bad. Something else looks bad initially, but long term it's going to lead to good things. It's going to build. Hu priya masim eile. Then you should follow that thing, even though initially it looks like it's not a good thing. But the long term effect. I just on that point, I remember a story. This is before phones and television. The story. Today the story wouldn't work, but pre phones and television, then there was a particular godol whose son wasn't exactly following his path, and the person who I heard this story from was staying with him. And the first day, the boy didn't go to yeshiva. And the guest, the rabbi who heard this story from, who was the guest, he's like surprised that the father, who was the god of the Torah, wasn't saying anything. Wasn't giving tochcha, wasn't telling off, wasn't telling him to go, didn't say anything. Second day again, third day again. On the third day, the guest couldn't take anymore. And privately, he said to the god of, he said, like, why aren't you telling him to go to yeshiva? Tell him to go. He said, no, it's better that he stays at home. He said, why? Because if I tell him to go, he'll feel like, I don't really want to go. I'm going because my father told me to go. And then when he finds anything which is wrong with the yeshiva, he'll say, oh, you see, I shouldn't have gone. But let him stay here until he's so bored, with nothing happening at home. He won't know what to do with himself. And then he'll say, like, I don't want to be at home anymore. I'm fed up of being at home. I say, I'm going back to yeshiva, I'll give it another try. And then he'll come from a place of him wanting to come to yeshiva. So that wouldn't work today because he would just spend the whole day on his phone, day after day, hour after hour after hour. It wouldn't work. But it looked like it was bad. Here's a person wasting time, just sitting at home doing nothing, and his father's not telling him off. His father's bad. His father's not giving tovacha. Why? But he understood the long-term effects. He understood the consequence. If I don't tell him off, what will happen? Then he'll come to himself. He'll come to himself. He'll choose himself to go back to yeshiva. And then it will have a long-term effect of him wanting to learn. That's an example of something which looks bad, but the long term, a chosid is someone who's looking at the long term effect. Eina devarim musarim, ela lev mevin v'seichel nachon. You have to have a heart and you have to have a mind for this to work. And you have to use it honestly, to use it straight away, to use it a clear way, no agendas. I can't tell you all the possible examples of this. Eiv shalav er pratim, she'en lem keit, v'ashem yitein chochma mitiv, data tevuna, you learn Torah, Kodesh Baruch Hu will give you the understanding of where to apply these rules. The story of Rabbi Tarfon can give us an example of this. The Gemara in Brachos Daf Yud says, teaches, that Rabbi Tarfon was machmir on himself regarding Kriya Shema, and he was lahatot kebeit Shammai, and he leaned when he said Shema at night. Amru lo, kedai hayita lachov batzmacha, you are worthy of chayv mitzvah. So the listen would have come and they would have killed you because you were lying down there at the time when you stopped to lie down. Then you would have been chayv mitzvah. Why would you be chayv mitzvah? Shavart al divrei Beit Hillel. Because you transgressed what Beit Hillel said to do. Afal pi shemachmir haya. And even though he thought he was doing a good thing, he was coming to do the will of Hashem by taking on an extra opinion. But it was a mistake that he did. V'zeh shel inyan machlokas Beit Shem Beit Hillel haya inyan kaved b'Yisra. V'pnei ha-machlokas ha-gadola sh'rafta b'nehem. What's wrong with being machmir? You want to take on a machmir opinion? What's wrong with that? At that time, there was a danger of a divide in Am Yisra. Beit Hillel would be one religion. Beit Shammai would become another religion. Somewhat like Yehuda and Yisra. They would become two totally separate nations. But sof sof nigmar shalacha ka Beit Hillel leolam. And the Gemara and Eruvin eventually passed on to halachas like Beit Hillel. V'hinei kiyuma shel Torah shegemar din zeh yisha'er b'kol tokef. Until it was passed on to halachas like Beit Hillel. If someone wants to be machmer, but said there, it's an individual choice. You could be machmer. But this was just after it was paskin, like we said. And if Rabbi Tarfon is saying, I know the halacha was paskin a certain way, but I'm going to do it like the other way anyway. That's going to cause a divide in Am Yisrael. The halacha which is paskin has tokef la'adu la'olami olamim. And you have to make sure that you follow the halacha which is paskin as halacha for Am Yisrael. For lo yechalesh b'shim panim. Shelo te'aseh Torah chasrom, stay Torahs. When Rabbi Tarfon was doing a chumrah, it wouldn't be identified as a chumrah. It would be identified as, he paskins that way. We're also going to paskin that way. Beit Shammai's flag is still being waved in the air. And eventually it will become two Torahs again. Al-Kain, Ladasa, Mishnah, Zot, Yoter, Chassidus, Lachzik, Kavetzel. And therefore, even if you personally want to be machmir, but for the sake of Kal Yisrael, having one Torah for all the generations, it's greater that you are maker and you follow Beit Hillel. And Am Yisrael has one Torah for all the generations. We can use this as an example for ourselves. Lirot eiza derech yishkon or beemet, to always look where is the light going to shine. Ve'emunah, and the faith going to be remaining in the people. La'asot ha'yashra ben Hashem, to long term, not just you, but everyone else also, as a result of what thing you do, the will of Hashem. B'siyat b'shmai, we finished the Perekaf. Be'ez Hashem, tomorrow we will start Perekaf Aleph, how to acquire chassidus and how to be careful not to lose chassidus. Shakwa.